This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full service law firm, and they service the greater Tampa Bay area. Call anytime for a free consult at 844-4-BLG-4ME, 844-4-BLG-4ME, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Huge supporters of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments, often providing the gifts that go out to all players at Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments, and they buy the first foursome in every Todd Wright Tour Golf event. Brandon Legal Group. Pin Chasers is celebrating their 60th anniversary in the Tampa Bay area. Three locations for your bowling fun 7 days a week. 32 lanes in Zephyr Hills at 6816 Gale Boulevard. 40 lanes at 5555 West Hillsboro Avenue. And that's called the Veterans location because it's just east of the Veterans Expressway. And then, of course, the Midtown location where I always meet the owner, Anthony Peroni, every month or so. Those 50 lanes are often full. The late night specials from 9 p.m. to close are fantastic. They are every late night, Sunday through Thursday. You have the breakfast bowl every morning where you can get a full breakfast and bowling for $8, 7 days a week. And remember, on Labor Day, Pin Chasers will have the 13th annual Labor Day Marathon, Monday, September the 2nd, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Anytime in that window you show up. You drop down $12, you bowl as long as you want, between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Remember, you never pay for shoes at Pin Chasers, and as Drew Garabo always reminds me, if you don't have the proper socks to go with their shoes, they will be happy to provide you with a pair of those complimentary as well. Visit pinchasers.net. Congrats to Anthony Peroni on the 60th anniversary. I know Anthony is excited because football season is back. The Canes even play Saturday night in Orlando against Florida. And as the Godfather would say, the Gators, a solid 7.5-point choice. I want to focus in this particular podcast on end of last year, beginning of this year, as it relates to NFL, and put it in some simple terms, just as talking points, who made the playoffs last year and how it looks to begin this year. We remind you who made the playoffs, and then I sort of look at who seems fine, who could be threatened, and those teams that could threaten to take away a spot. Just going in order, AFC East, North, South, West, NFC East, North, South, West. That's the way I've always done it, just because that's the way it usually reads in the standings. Used to say in the newspaper, now it's just the way it generally reads on your device. AFC East, look, you can hate the shit out of them if you want, but they're just going to make you look stupid. Until further notice. They won the Super Bowl last year. The coach is back. The quarterback is back. And they've got enough else back. Do they have some questions? Sure. Do they generally figure those things out? Yeah. And considering how much they've dominated that division for years, anyone who tells you otherwise, They wouldn't hold their feet to the fire on it, and they wouldn't put money behind it. They're hoping, they're guessing, they're not accountable. I think the Jets could be better. I think Buffalo's okay. Josh Allen needs to be a little bit more accurate with his passes, but I don't think the Bills are awful. And I have no interest in the Dolphins. And the Dolphins may have little interest in winning anyway. But none of those three teams are in the class of Brady, Belichick, and the New England Patriots. So I don't think anyone else is coming out of the AFC East this year. AFC North could be different. A lot of things happening. So last year you had the, as I call it, it was like the breakup of Fifth Harmony in Pittsburgh. So Le'Veon Bell didn't play at all. Antonio Brown bails at the end of the year. Le'Veon Bell's now officially gone. Antonio Brown got traded. Maybe the Steelers didn't ask for as much from the Raiders because they knew Antonio Brown was a lost cause, as he seems to be proving now with the feet, the helmet, and all the other bullshit. Baltimore wins the division, but then loses a home playoff game to the Chargers, and that's it. Cincinnati changed coaches. You know, they would, every few years, they'd win the division under Marvin Lewis and then lose the home playoff game every time under Marvin Lewis. I miss Marvin Lewis Bengals teams making the playoffs. It was such easy money. I mean, just such easy money every time. And then you have the Cleveland Browns, although Baker Mayfield is getting a little annoying with the whole us against the world. He has one of the best fan bases going, and he has a lot of people who have no skin in the game on the Cleveland Browns who take a look at what they're doing and say, all right, this looks a lot better from previous efforts of the Browns to rebuild. And when you stink for so long and you have number one draft picks in consecutive years, this is what you do. You go for it. You make smart picks. You make big trades. I still don't know about the head coach. I've always said retaining someone on an interim basis from a losing situation before generally isn't a good idea. I think that ultimately will be viewed as something that holds these Browns back. That said, I think they'll be competitive. I don't like Mike Tomlin and how he lets things get away from him. I don't think there's a lot of attention to detail with Tomlin in Pittsburgh. The fact that with one of the best quarterbacks in the game, one of the best running backs in the game, Bell, one of the best wide receivers in the game, and Antonio Brown, and you know they couldn't win more than one playoff game a year. And last year it all fell apart. Juju Smith-Schuster now replaces Antonio Brown. James Conner comes back for an encore after a very solid season until he was injured at the end. I still think Pittsburgh will be competitive too. The AFC North could shift away from Baltimore simply because this Lamar Jackson running offense that snuck up on a lot of teams last year, it's like, what are they doing? We haven't seen an offense like this since we played college ball in the Big Eight. So now they're modifying the offense, which might be smart because John Harbaugh knows, yeah, we got away with it last year. We got as much out of it as possible. We can't do that again. Lamar will get hurt. Teams will stack the box. They drafted two wide receivers. They even drafted a running back in Justice Hill, although I'm not big on Big 12 running backs from any school except Oklahoma the last almost 15 years coming into the National Football League. But you could see a change there. Other than Cincinnati, although Finley will probably stick there. I always find it interesting that quarterbacks that come out of NC State make it in the NFL, no matter how it looks or what their path is, they make it in the NFL. Go back and take a look at some of the ones who've been there for yourself. Finley might be the future quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals. But yeah, Baltimore could give way to Pittsburgh or Cleveland. Baltimore generally hovers around playoff contention. They could hover again, but it wouldn't surprise me if they miss this year and Pittsburgh gets back in. And if Cleveland doesn't have problems with the new head coach and can handle the adversity that inevitably they're going to face somewhere along the way, they could be in the mix here. AFC South. Houston is perennially an underachieving team in the playoffs, but they always seem to sort of get there, don't they? Now, a lot of that is based on Deshaun Watson's health, we often talk about Deshaun Watson's health, like we talk about J.J. Watt's health. And when's Clowney going to show up? There are always questions. Bill O'Brien's still there. It's not a championship team, but kind of like the Ravens, they're going to hover. Indianapolis seems more vulnerable just because here we go again on Andrew Luck. Something's wrong in the lower leg, whether it's the calf, some small bone is described by the eccentric owner, the ankle, something is going on there. It doesn't make any Colts fans feel good about Luck's status going into the season. Without Andrew Luck, even though they do have Jacoby Brissett, they have no chance of making the playoffs. Jacksonville has filled the major void. Now, they jumped up 2 years ago, presumably out of nowhere, and reached the AFC Championship game. And then it all fell apart starting in October last year. Remember, they clocked the Patriots, week three-ish, week four-ish? But Blake Bortles is finally gone, and in comes, this is his nickname, Big Dick Nick. Now, Nick has left the Eagles before and failed. He could fail again in Jacksonville. I don't like the wide receiver core, and anyone close to the Eagles will tell you that's a really tight room in Philadelphia. Sometimes those things work, sometimes they don't, for the reasons why the room is tight. It worked in Philadelphia. Foles may not have that working for him in Jacksonville, but I want to give him the benefit of the doubt until I see otherwise. That, yeah, Foles can fix what dragged the Jaguars down last year, which was the team basically quitting on Blake Bortles, knowing that with him, they weren't going anywhere. And now with Foles, a Super Bowl MVP, who even had some magic going late last season again before a ball went through Alshon Jeffrey's hands in New Orleans, that the Jags could be a factor again. So much like in the AFC North, where I can see Baltimore going from division champ to missing the playoffs in favor of a Pittsburgh or even a Cleveland, I could see an Andrew Luck-less Indianapolis Colts giving way to the Jacksonville Jaguars, or the Jaguars even being better than the Houston Texans. Because the Texans, to me, and the Ravens are a lot alike, at least in recent years. I'm not talking about the Ravens teams that won Super Bowl 35 and won Super Bowl 47. AFC West looks the same to me. Chiefs look great. Chargers, with or without Gordon, and eventually he will be there. Chargers, I think, are good. Raiders aren't there yet. And Denver still doesn't have a quarterback and seems to make a lot of bad personnel decisions. And I'm not sure that they made the right head coaching call either. So of the six that made the AFC playoffs last year, I can make the case New England is back in, duh. Kansas City's back in, Chargers are back in. Those were the three best teams in the AFC last year. They should be three of the best six this year. Houston, of the remaining three, Houston, Indy, Baltimore, until Andrew Luck's healthy, I think Houston has a chance to be back in the playoffs, but I think you have to give Jacksonville a look. I don't think winning the AFC South is that outlandish. If Nick Foles can be a similar player as he was in Philadelphia, and the Jags can play some of the defense and do some of the other things that they did 2 years ago. Tennessee is okay, but I have a feeling they're just not getting anywhere. in Tennessee. Bad decisions are being made. It's the last year for Marcus Mariota. He's on the same deal as Jameis Winston. I think they'll go about the same way. And, of course, in the AFC North, I could see Baltimore falling out of a playoff spot under Lamar Jackson and Pittsburgh and or Cleveland taking that spot or any combination, because you can obviously get a division champ and a wild card from the AFC North this year as opposed to getting a division champ and a wild card from the AFC South last year. In the NFC, going east, north, south, west, Dallas won their third division title in 5 years last year. I think Philadelphia rightfully is the favorite in the division this year. Granted, Carson Wentz needs to either play a full season or damn close to it for Philly to realize some of where they feel they were 2 years ago, because I think they feel their window is still open. That's why they went out and got DeSean Jackson, drafted Miles Sanders. Dallas Goedert is probably as good of a number two tight end as there is in the NFL, and Doug Peterson knows how to use that. Defensively, they were horrible at DB last year. Tighten that up, and I think you got something. With Dallas, there's no Ezekiel Elliott right now, and while some are convinced he's going to be there either for the first game or by the second or third game, he's not there. And it's hard to envision the Cowboys being able to find their way if he chooses not to show up, because that's all that anyone is going to talk about. If the 1993 defending Super Bowl champion Cowboys couldn't win their first two games without Emmitt Smith, these Cowboys can't win games without Ezekiel Elliott, especially under the circumstances. So that puts Dallas at a disadvantage compared to the more stable situation in Philadelphia, although obviously Philadelphia just went out and signed old man McCown. I like what Peterson said. Well, he's close to my age. Eagles needed to do that just because of Wentz's recent injury history. I've liked the Daniel Jones pick all along. I just kind of wonder how the quarterback situation in New York is going to play out this year. And that's why I'm not overly excited about the Giants being in the mix to be in the playoffs, while I think Jones is going to be okay in the long run. Redskins, Jay Gruden has worked miracles before. I like Haskins as well. But there's not a lot else I like about the Redskins, and their left tackle is holding out. This feels like the end of the road for Jay Gruden in Washington. Even if Haskins has a good year and the Redskins don't, I think you could see them making a change. And, you know, maybe Jay Gruden will be better off being hired somewhere else in a year or two as a head coach with all he has learned and dealt with the Washington Redskins, and normally a pretty average to below average roster, even for years where they were in playoff contention. Bears won the NFC North last year, and they've got a lot of the same things back and in place. Now, Jordan Howard is gone. He goes to Philly. It's interesting that two of the more talked about rookie running backs are in Chicago and Philly. So the Bears trade Jordan Howard to Philly, draft David Montgomery. Philly acquires Jordan Howard, drafts Sanders from Penn State. Nagy is pretty damn good at what he schemes up offensively. I just wonder if there's a ceiling that Trubisky hits, you know, and how much he can actually do beyond what Nagy can scheme for him, to make it simple for him, to make it obvious for him. I think Nagy's an underrated head coach to win that division last year. Kicking woes were the Bears, one of the bigger Bears problems last year. I don't know that they've solved it with Pinheiro. It looks like they'll go into opening day with him. The minute Pinheiro hits an upright or shanks one, good luck. Perhaps the Bucs actually found someone with Matt Gay and the kicking problems suddenly are in Chicago and not Tampa Bay. That doesn't mean the Bucs are better. It just means the kicking curse moved last year from Tampa Bay to Chicago. Once Chandler Catanzaro was dumped from the Bucs, then ironically signs the free agent contract with the Jets, missed two extra points, and says, yeah, forget the $2.3 million, I'm retired. But Chicago is still vulnerable to say, oh, yeah, that's a playoff team. No, can't do that because Green Bay didn't make the playoffs last year with a playoff-worthy quarterback, with a team that basically quit on Mike McCarthy. You know, there were a few teams out there that quit last year that know how to, that knew, that had a group that knew how to win. Jacksonville quit on Blake Bortles. Green Bay quit on Mike McCarthy. And Carolina just kind of quit. And I'm not really sure what happened there in Carolina because they didn't change the quarterback. They didn't change the head coach. And I'm wondering if there'll be carryover. We haven't gotten to the NFC South yet, but I think if things go bad for Carolina in the first half of the season, I don't know that they're going to get much better. And then you could see major change in 2020. But it should surprise no one if Green Bay makes the playoffs this year. So that makes Chicago vulnerable as a division champ. And then Minnesota, you know how we were talking about sort of Baltimore and Houston? The Vikings are that. We haven't in recent years looked at Baltimore, not since the Super Bowl 47 team, and said, oh yeah, Super Bowl contender. We haven't looked at Houston and said that. We haven't looked at Minnesota and said that. But look at all the playoff berths between the Ravens, Houston, and Minnesota. So Minnesota is in the mix. They were supposed to move forward last year, and they moved back. Some things look the same. They're going to try to do some things differently. I'm just not sure that the regression of last year wasn't telling, or if they simply made a bad investment in Kirk Cousins, and that Kirk Cousins wasn't the guy to put them over the top. So Chicago was vulnerable. Green Bay, to me, certainly looks like they could be in the playoff mix. Minnesota, I'm going to say not in the playoff mix, but just based on that Baltimore and Houston analogy, I at least give them the benefit of the mention, unlike Detroit. In the NFC South, yeah, I think it's New Orleans. This was the team that most of us thought should have been in the Super Bowl last year, might have won the Super Bowl. Peyton has won a Super Bowl. Breeze has won a Super Bowl. Kamara is now the number one back. They brought in Murray to take the backup role, who was pretty good in that role in Minnesota, spelling Dalvin Cook. The lines look good. They re-signed Michael Thomas. That defense got better and better and better last year. And you talk about a team motivated to kind of give the finger to Roger Goodell on the missed pass interference call. I wouldn't question New Orleans in the NFC South at all. Atlanta, to me, is not going to recover from blowing a 28-3 lead in Super Bowl 51 for a while. And to me, Atlanta is more of a fantasy football team than anything else. Matt Ryan is a top five fantasy quarterback. Julio Jones is a top five fantasy wide receiver. Calvin Ridley might have some good games fantasy-wise. Not sure how many games Devontae Freeman stays on the field. I think the Falcons are, they're kind of a stat team. That's it. I don't think they're a threat to the Saints. Already talked about Carolina. I'm worried not enough change was made there. And to me, was strapped with salary cap issues and not choosing to make really big decisions, such as letting Jameis Winston walk and aggressively chasing another quarterback now. Bruce Arians seems like more of a temporary Band-Aid. I don't even think Arians is that invested in getting this done, which is why he just got the band back together in Todd Bowles, who I think he wants to hand this team off to the minute he gets a chance to do so. Not a lot to like with the Buccaneers. And in the NFC West, I don't expect the Rams will drop off. Whether Gurley plays great, good, here or there, or not much, McVay will still do enough offensively to make the Rams tough. The fact that the Patriots shut down the Rams in that Super Bowl, look, it was a horrible Super Bowl. It really was. It was a dud. It was such a disappointing way to end what was, you know, a fun football season. But the fact that the Patriots shut down the Rams may have exposed Jared Goff. Granted, he can still learn some things. I still believe in McVay, but that was a hard lesson the Rams took. They still have the best defensive player in the game if you believe Donald's better than Mack, which most do. Sue is not there, but he mailed it in for the first 2-3 months of last year. If he does that in Tampa Bay, he won't show up in December, because by then the Bucs will be, what, 3-9? That's why that signing made no sense. Seattle was a team I believed in last year. Those of you that said, yeah, they were rebuilding, you were wrong. They were a playoff team last year. They held their own in a road playoff game at Dallas. Had they had a healthy kicker, that game might have gone differently. Russell Wilson makes them a winner, and I think Pete Carroll has a lot to do with it too. So to me, AFC West looks stable, just as NFC West looks stable with a top two. Arizona and San Francisco do nothing for me. I don't believe in what Arizona is doing, and I look at San Francisco's roster, and I just don't see talent. I love John Lynch. I don't see talent on that roster. So in the NFC, Saints, Rams, Seahawks, Eagles were four playoff teams last year. I think very well could be four playoff teams this year, barring something unforeseen. The vulnerable ones are Dallas, especially without Elliott in camp, and the Bears, just because the Bears are in a division with a Packer team that's not, they're not going to quit for 2 years in a row on a coach. And while the Vikings seem to be, they moved in the wrong direction, there's enough there to still keep them in the conversation. So that's the way I see the playoff teams from last year compared to the playoff teams from this year. I see, let's see, roughly 3 to 4 AFC playoff teams coming back. 4 NFC playoff teams coming back. So what? Roughly 33% change. And I think your best candidates, excuse me, I'm still fighting this congestion or whatever I got. I think it's just because it's been raining every day here in Florida. The handful of teams that didn't make the playoffs last year that could make a run this year, in no particular order: Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Cleveland, Minnesota. Thanks for listening to the Todd Wright Toddcast, presented by Pin Chasers and Brandon Legal Group. I appreciate you listening. Subscribe, tell your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.